Our scripture lesson this morning is Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, and then verses 8 and 9. All the people gathered together in the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So they read from the book from the law of God with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord, your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When all else fails, read the instructions. When our children were young, there were two words that I came to dread. Assembly required. This was especially true with my parents. Now, I never knew if my dad was lying or if my dad was telling the truth, because with my dad, it could have been either way. But every Christmas and birthday party, you know, we would be gathered and the gift would be presented to Zach or Katie and the box would be open. And every single time, my dad would act surprised and say, "I didn't know this had to be put together." As I said, we never figured out if he was lying or not, because with my dad, either one could have been the case. Well, thank goodness many manufacturers have people like me in mind when writing the instructions. I had to go somewhere completely by myself and read and complete each step very deliberately. But now doing so, I always managed to get even the most complicated items assembled. Israel had received the instructions for a positive relationship with God and each other. The basic book was the Ten Commandments and the book of the law that went into more detail about living out the commandments. They had the instructions. They just never paid them much mind. Kind of like, I know we don't have any of those men in this church, but some men think they're so mechanically inclined that they throw the instructions to the side and then get started, then wonder why they're in a mess. I know we don't have any of those in here, but I have heard of guys who do that kind of thing. They had the instructions, and they just never paid them much attention. After a while, God had enough. And he allowed Israel to be nearly, not quite, but nearly wiped off the face of the earth by Babylon. Many who survived were taken into exile. This morning, scripture finds Israel has returned, and after many years, and they are in the early steps of rebuilding the nation. Phase one is being completed. And the people gather under the leadership of Nehemiah and Ezra. And they have It said it started early morning to midday. Early morning would typically be considered 6 a.m. And then, of course, midday is noon. They had a 6-hour outdoor Bible study. Wow. If the nation was to be restored, They had to learn and live the book, the law. The book, the law, was not God, but the book, the law, was God's recorded promises and expectations. Does this ring any bells? Many will say that I am simplistic. But if we're going to solve the problems that plague American society, we'll get back to the book. If we're going to bring resolution in our most private struggles to our most public societal problems, the answers are in the book. The Bible gives every promise and every command that humanity needs to know to be in a positive relationship with God, to be in a positive relationship with each other, to bring about an orderly, productive, safe society. The Israelites knew that if they were going to rebuild their nation, they had to learn and live God's law. Now, most of us in the church would agree. Yet I have to raise a question. Is the Bible priority in our lives? Or do we only read it and study it when we can squeeze it in? The International Bible Baptist Lay Academy serves as a training ground for many church leaders in Eastern Europe in the Baptist denomination. It's based in Hungary and trains many believers who have literally known oppression and persecution. This happened several years ago, but there was a class taking place, and one of the visiting professors from over here in America, he was used to how we Americans study the Bible. And so he realized that he had taught into the scheduled break time. And in America, that could be a big no-no. And so when he realized what he had done, he started apologizing profusely. When a student interrupted him and said, quote, "Professor, don't stop. We've had a 40-year break," end quote. Is it possible that we Americans have been so blessed with freedom that we have taken the Bible for granted, thereby we fail to read it, thereby we fail to study it, and without reading it or studying it, we fail to live it? See, the first step in living according to God's instructions is reading them. Those instructions and those myriad of toys that my dad gave that he said he did not know they had to be assembled, those instructions would have done me absolutely no good if I had not read them. We can't live the Bible if we don't know what it says. Now, I know that we don't always interpret the same way. That's between each of us individuals and God. But we can't even discuss interpretation if we don't know what it says first. We can't know if the messages that come from this pulpit. You can't know on Sunday morning if what I'm saying is the truth, or at least a good shot at the truth, if you don't know what it says first. You can't know if what you hear that comes over the airways as authoritative is God's truth if you don't know what it says first. You can't know if what these people that have big names write in books as the truth, you can't know if it's the truth if you don't read it, the Bible, first. The Barna Research Group has monitored religious life in America for decades. And they conducted a study for Tyndall House Publishers. And consider a few of their findings. More than 90% of Americans' households, at least at the time this was conducted, more than 90% of American households owned a Bible. 75% of households had two or more. 80% of Americans said the Bible was the most influential book in world history. Sounding good so far. Then we get to the but. In this case, yet. Barely one-third of adults read any Bible in a typical week, and only 20% read the entire Bible once in their lifetime. The most popular method of reading the Bible is thumbing through until something looks intriguing, relevant, or interesting. 56% of Americans think the Bible teaches taking care of one's family is the most important task in life. It's important, but the Bible doesn't teach it's the most important. 72% of Americans believe they are blessed by God so they can enjoy life as much as possible. No, to use a cliche, we're blessed to be a blessing. 42%, now hear this one. I stumbled there. Now hear this one. 42% of Americans, remember, 90% of Americans have at least one Bible in the house. 42% of Americans believe the Bible teaches that Jesus sinned on earth. Of Americans believe that all individuals will experience the same outcome after death regardless of the life they lived on earth. Sounds like a lot of us Americans need to read our Bibles if for no other reason than to get our facts straight. Now, if you don't think you have time to read the Bible, I've come to find out, retired folks sometimes are busier than the folks that are working. Y'all tell me that's what happens anyway, so I'll have to take your word for it. I'm not there yet. But if you don't think you have time to read the Bible, consider this research. According to this research, reading the Bible at a standard pulpit speed, which is reading at a pace that can be understood, which means I read the Bible slower out loud to the congregation than I would if I was just reading to myself. Reading the Bible at a pulpit pace, which is a pace that can be understood, the entire Bible could be read in 71 hours. All right, so what does that mean? If you break that down into minutes and divide it by 365 days, you could read the Bible from cover to cover in 12 minutes per day. 12 minutes per day. You could read the entire Bible cover to cover. And it's important that we read the Bible for content, and it's important we read the Bible prayerfully. Now, obviously, the Bible is a book containing events that are foreign to us, many of them. The Bible can be read as literature. Some people do that. The Bible can be read as history. Some people are into that. But the Bible, as I understand it, is meant to be read as our loving Heavenly Father's instruction book. It's therefore important that we pray before, during, and after reading it. To do so is to offer the Holy Spirit the opportunity to speak to our hearts, minds, and souls and lives through the printed Word of God. And reading in a spirit of prayer offers the Bible a chance to become more like a letter from a loved one than a book. I have a lot of good books in my library. I wish I could remember what most of them said. One thing that's terrible about me, I can read a book and I can learn a lot in the moment, but then if you go back a month later and ask me what it said, I have to go back and look at it again. That's just... So if I remembered everything I read in that library in my office, I would be one smart dude. But anyway, I get sidetracked. I have a lot of good and informative books in my library. Some of those books are by well-known authors. And I learned from them. Other books about or by authors that I had not heard of before, but they were recommended by people I trust. And I read from them and I learned from them. But I have some books by authors whose classes I have either attended over the years or I attended in seminary. And I got to know the author as a person. I got to see the author more than just the name behind the book. And when I read those books, I see the author speaking. When I read those books, I hear the author's voice. When I read those books, I read with heightened interest and anticipation. The next time you pick up your Bible and read it, which I hope will be soon, pray before, during, and after you read. Remember as you read that these words were inspired by the one who created you. And the one who loves you so much that through Jesus Christ suffered and died for you. You know the author personally. I believe if you read with that mindset, even the dry parts won't be as dry. And when you read and you feel yourself corrected by the Bible, it will not be some God out here somewhere or some dry person in a book, but it'll be the person who loves you the most trying to guide your life to a better way or encourage your life. So the next time you read, remember that you know the author. Hear the author speaking to you. To gain the absolute most from the Bible, we need to also study the Bible. You know, I don't mean that every time we pick up a Bible, we have to have an open commentary as well. But to gain the most that the Bible has to teach us, we need to have times of study when we dig below the surface. When we get beyond the surface ramifications. Because the truth is, it's a two-sided coin. The truth is, the Bible does occur in a time and a culture that is radically different from our experience. Yet the truths are timeless. There are many passages that just reading on the surface either don't make sense or they don't seem to have a whole lot of relevance until we understand the culture and the point in history when it occurred, and then it makes sense to apply it to ours. Whenever I'm sent to a new appointment, which that's not what this next PPR meeting is about, don't any rumors get started, it's about something completely different. But whenever I am sent to a new appointment, I spend the first year studying the congregation and the community. Every community is different. Every congregation is different. I've served 2 and 3 point charges. They're in the same community. None of those churches are alike, even on the same charge in the same community. So every congregation has its own rituals, has its own values, etc. I mean, hopefully we've all got Christian values, but there are specific values that each congregation holds dear as well. And these are completely normal and understood by the members. But I wish everybody could be a preacher's family for just maybe a week. You've been used to how Church X does things for 5, 6, now for me, 12 and a half years. Y'all know if the bishop decides I do have to be reappointed sometime, I don't care if I go to the most dynamic church in the conference. It's going to be weird. Not that, because We have our way of doing things here at Walker. As a matter of fact, I tell people sometimes, I've just become part of the family and my job happens to be the preacher in the church. So, it's going to take me a while if I do end up getting transferred at some point before retirement to see how these people do things. To see what rituals are important to these people. To see where the landmines are with these people. Because every place is different. I don't go in charging with my itinerary. I try to find out where I am, and then I try to relate and work with the church. In other words, I study. Honestly, there are many things in the Bible that on the surface, don't think I'm being sacrilegious, I'm just being honest. There's a lot of things in the Bible that on the surface appear weird and irrelevant. But if you'll take the time to get to know the people of the Bible, if you will take the time to get to know the land of the Bible, if you will take the time to get to know the times in which the Bible took place, it will amaze you the truths, the timeless truth you'll discover from the most weird, irrelevant, on the surface passage. Likewise, there are passages in the Bible that just reading the surface without getting to know the people and the time and the places involved in the event have been misconstrued. Now, I'm not going to get us sidetracked into any of those this morning. But I will never forget a former DS who frequently went to the Holy Land related a conversation he had with a Palestinian shop owner. In the conversation, she says something, and I want you to hear this. It's his quote of her quote. And the way he said it, it didn't sound like she was being very complimentary of us. She said, "You Western Christians, you take the Bible so literally, but you don't take it seriously." There's a professor that I try to attend his seminar every year. He's forgotten more about the Bible and the related disciplines than I ever hoped to know. In one segment, he took a passage in the Bible that we tend to have on the surface a particular meaning, and we delved into the history. We delved into the land. We delved into the background. We delved into the culture. And the surface reading and the conclusion from the study come out to be two different things. And he concluded that segment by saying this, and I quote, "Let's take the Bible seriously enough to study it. Let's take the Bible seriously enough to study it." God has given us all the instructions we need to know in raising our families. God has given us all the instructions we need to know to create a just and productive society. God has given us all the instructions we need to know for inner peace and purpose in life. If we read it. If we read, study, and follow the instructions, we will be amazed at what the Spirit will teach and how much better life can be. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you know there are many reasons why Christians and non-Christians alike do not read the Bible. Even those of us who attempt to be your followers, and we have read through the Bible before. Lord, remind us that we never come to a point where we know everything about it. We never come to a point to where we have it memorized word for word from cover to cover. We never come to a point to where we understand everything about everything. But Lord, as we grow in you, you teach us more and more and more. So Lord, wherever we are in our reading and study of the scriptures, may you give us a heart to seek, to read, and to study more. And Lord, help us to remember as we read, our loving Heavenly Father is speaking to us. Not some dry book of instructions, but it's a letter from our loving Heavenly Father and how we might live life to the fullest that you intend on this planet, and then spend eternity with you. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar is open as it is always. If you feel led to come and pray for any reason, please come as we sing our hymn.